Glory to Jesus. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the gospel. Hallelujah. Bible says in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Bible says in verse 17, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Glory to Jesus. I welcome you to another episode in the Everyday with Jesus broadcast, where our lives are being enriched and transformed by the word of God. This is the gospel in its sincere and pure form. Hallelujah. Sincere and pure form. Unadulterated truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. So we've been studying salvation, remission of sins, and then we have come back to our study on metaphors for salvation. And this time around, we are studying sanctification. Yesterday, we began studying sanctification, and we saw how sanctification means to set apart. It means to dedicate, to consecrate for holy use, for sacred use. Glory to Jesus. Sanctification means a man is set apart unto God. And I said that this particular word, sanctification, is different and unique from every other metaphor used for salvation, because this is the particular one that Jesus used for himself while he was on the face of the earth. I said that is because sanctification goes beyond the idea of you being a sinner and then being brought to God, being saved. It goes beyond that, such that you don't have to be a sinner to be regarded or considered to be someone who has been sanctified, because sanctification deals with a position in the which a man is set apart for God's use. Amen. And that's why you find the word sanctification used for things, vessels, objects, even in the Old Testament. So Jesus spoke of himself as the one whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, John chapter 10, verse 35 to 36. And from that alone, it's clear that Jesus was not a sinner. He hadn't done anything wrong. He wasn't a sinner. He wasn't an unrighteous man. But he says God has sanctified him and sent him into the world, because sanctification means to be set apart for God's purpose. Hallelujah. To be set apart unto a particular work. To be dedicated, devoted to the will of the Father. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So today, let's make progress. I want to answer the question, or let's say, debunk the myth that says sanctification is a second work of grace. I've heard believers, Christians, pastors, theologians too. As a matter of fact, the major proponents of this error are some theologians who claim that sanctification is a second work of grace. Is sanctification really a second work of grace? Glory to Jesus. See, that's the same way some people claim that the idea of being baptized with the Spirit is a second work of grace in salvation. So when a man is saved, he is not in the Spirit until he is baptized in the Spirit. And then you confuse, you just muddle a lot of things up and you confuse many things together. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13, by one Spirit we all have been baptized into the body of Christ, whether Jews or Greek, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. We all have been baptized into the body. That speaks of our salvation. Glory to Jesus. That speaks of our salvation. Now, because Jesus says on the day of, before the day of Pentecost, that you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now, and then on the day of Pentecost, people began to pray in tongues, and then people have said, speaking in tongues is the baptism of the Spirit. But then speaking in tongues is taught in the epistles as one of the gifts of the Spirit. Glory to Jesus. One of the gifts of the Spirit. So we can attribute tongues to the baptism. As a matter of fact, Bible tells us at John chapter 7, look at this carefully. Let me link two things together for you, for your consideration and study. John chapter 7, glory to God. I'll read from verse 37. Bible says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, when Jesus says, as the scripture has said, he's not referring to the statement, as the scripture has said, he's not referring to out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's not what the scriptures have said, because you won't find any place like this in the Old Testament. You won't find any place like this in the prophecies, that from the bellies of men, from the hearts of men, will flow rivers of living water. That's not what he was referring to as what the scriptures have said. Read again. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, as the scripture has said, because what the scriptures said is that we should believe. Praise God. They are, the writings of the prophets collectively bore witness to Christ and ought men to believe the report and the accounts of his sufferings and glories. Hallelujah. The sufferings of Christ and the glories that will follow. That's what the prophets spoke about. That's why Isaiah would say, Lord, who has believed our reports? The prophets wrote things that must be believed, things that should be believed. So he who believes, as the scriptures have said, so he's describing, he's showing you the consequence of believing according to scriptures. He who believes according to scriptures, out of him shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, but this is spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. I've heard people say that Jesus was talking about himself, that it is out of Jesus' belly will flow rivers of living. That's funny. Verse 39 already shows you that it was speaking of the Holy Ghost that will be given to men. The Holy Ghost that men will receive. Hallelujah. So, the consequence of receiving the Spirit is that from the heart of men will flow rivers of living waters. Praise God. Rivers of living waters. Hallelujah. Now listen. Bible says, the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now go to Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 32 to 33. Bible says, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Verse 33. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. So you discover that the Holy Ghost was not given until Jesus ascended. Hallelujah. So the church began in the book of Acts. The church began at Acts 2. That was the day that the Holy Ghost was given. That was the day of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. I'll pour my Spirit on all flesh. So nobody had the indwelling Spirit until Jesus rose again. Glory be to Jesus. So you can't be referring to speaking in tongues as the baptism. What happened on the day of Pentecost was beyond tongues. That was the day the church began in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That was the day the church of Jesus was born. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. That was the day of the fulfillment of the giving of the Spirit. And that's the baptism of the Spirit. We'll come back to this some other time. So that's the same way some theologians have come to say that sanctification is a second work of grace. And then you find people saying, after you have become saved, after you've believed in the gospel, you must trust God to sanctify you. You must wait on God. You must depend on God for sanctification. Because without sanctification, you cannot be used of God. There's an element of truth in what they are saying. But the presentation is faulty from scriptures. It's faulty according to scriptures. Because the truth is, unless a man sets himself apart to the work of God, unless a man presents himself to God as one who has been set apart and sanctified for the work, we saw yesterday emphatically how that Jesus, because of his sanctification, set himself apart. He sanctified himself. John 17, he said, I sanctify myself for their sakes that they may be sanctified. John 17, 19. Glory to Jesus. So we saw that, we see in the life of Jesus that it is necessary that the man that has been sanctified set himself apart to that work, such that a man who has been sanctified and set apart by God will not be of use to God until he sets himself apart to do the work. Hallelujah. So, but this is not what God will do. This is not, if God were to do this, God would do this for everybody. This is what the man is meant to do for himself. Hallelujah. Because God has already done his part. So sanctification is not the second work of grace by God. God has already saved us and sanctified us. And then he instructs us to walk in that sanctification. He instructs us to set ourselves apart because we have been set apart by him. Glory to God. We have been set apart by him unto himself, and he instructs us to calculate and reckon this to be so. See an example at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Praise God. 2 Timothy 2. There's no place in the New Testament where it is taught that sanctification is God's second work of grace. That God is doing a second work of grace. After he has sanctified us, he now wants to sanctify us again. No, he already sanctified us. We must discern this from the word of God and set ourselves apart as men of God unto the work he has called us to. 2 Timothy, look at this quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2. See an example. Glory to God. See an example. Bible says from verse 20. Let me even start from verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. What's the iniquity here? The iniquity here is false teaching. The things that these men were teaching. The message of men like Emmaus and Philetus, who claimed that the resurrection was already past. So he says the solid foundation of God stands sure. God knows his ministers. Everyone that names the name of the Lord must depart from such things, must depart from false teachings, must depart from devising things that are contrary to the word of God in a bid to mislead others. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So, verse 20, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So, it is the responsibility of the man, the vessel now, to cleanse himself from the latter. What is the latter? False teaching. The iniquity. So, you see that it is not God that will be doing this cleansing. It is the man. How does he cleanse himself from this? By abstaining from false teaching. By staying away. By departing from false teaching. By departing from iniquity and setting himself aside and apart unto sound doctrine. Glory to Jesus. Have you seen? So, he does the cleansing. This time, because this cleansing is not an inward work by the Spirit of God. It's not that which happened by the blood of Jesus. This cleansing comes by staying away and dissociating yourself from false teachings and setting yourself apart unto God, sound doctrine, sound teaching, pursuing the things that are in the faith. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So that's what we're talking about. So sanctification as a second work of grace that, you know, God will do for us is false. It's a fallacy. God already sanctified us. We are to set ourselves apart as we recognize this fact. Glory to Jesus. As we recognize, in recognition of this fact that God has sanctified us, we are to set ourselves apart unto God. We are to cleanse ourselves from every, you know, filthiness of false doctrine and set ourselves apart to the truth of the word of God. So let's run through scriptures again to see this emphatically taught in scriptures. Sanctification as a work of God has been done. It's been done already. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at this carefully. 1 Corinthians 1. Let's even start from Acts of Apostles. Acts of Apostles 20, verse 32. We are already sanctified in Christ Jesus. We've been sanctified. We are not going to be sanctified in Christ. We have been sanctified. Hallelujah. I'll show you one place in which the idea of a future sanctification is relevant, but it is not about this life now. Where our present condition is concerned, where our present state is concerned, sanctification is a past tense reality. Acts 20 verse 32. Bible says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Have you seen? Among those who are sanctified. Not people who are being sanctified, but those who have already been sanctified. Those who have already been sanctified. Those who have already been sanctified. Hallelujah. Because sanctification has been done by Christ Jesus. That is the fruit of his redemption. That is the fruit of his work. That is the consequence of having the Spirit of God. Glory to Jesus. Look at Acts of Apostles 26, verse 17 to 18. Acts of Apostles 26, 17 to 18. Glory to God. Jesus speaking, he says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. For being forgiven, for having salvation in Christ Jesus, you have been sanctified. Your salvation is the sanctification. Praise God. Our salvation in Christ is the sanctification. So it's not a second work. It is not something God does after we are saved. For saving us, we have been sanctified. Hallelujah. We've been sanctified in our salvation. Glory to Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Bible says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all we in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Have you seen? He says, to the church which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified. So the church of God are those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. They are also those who are called saints in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, the word sanctified and the word saints are from the same Greek word, agiazo. The man that is sanctified is the saint of God. The man that belongs to the body of Christ, that belongs to the church, is among those who have been sanctified by faith in Christ Jesus. Now see how it says, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. That shows you that this was beyond the Corinthians. So you don't say there was something Paul saw in the Corinthians. There was something he saw in them. In fact, if that's your school of thought, the letter to the Corinthians, if you read all through, you find out that that school of thought will not be able to stand. Because there was nothing Paul saw in these guys physically. There was nothing in their conduct at this point in time that made Paul refer to them as sanctified. Glory to Jesus. At 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 1, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, even as to babes in Christ. Glory to Jesus. So he refers to them as carnal men. Verse 3, for you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? These were men that were walking in carnality. They were envious, striving with one another. There was division. They were divided over the choice of ministers. Some preferred Apollos. Some preferred Peter. Some preferred Paul. Paul would have to say, which of us died for you? Was I crucified for you? You see, they were carnal men, yet he refers to them as the church of God sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints. Glory be to God. If the Corinthian church were to be under a pastor that believes that sanctification is the second work of grace, he would have been preaching to them at this point in time that they should strive to pray to God and depend on Him, rely on Him, plead with Him and beg Him. Perhaps God will begin to sanctify them. You know, that idea is so faulty and deadly. When you find a believer who is not living as he ought to live, rather than put the responsibility on him, rather than instruct him to set himself apart and begin to walk worthy of the calling he has received, you put the responsibility and the initiative on God. Rather than put the responsibility on him, as we have seen from scriptures, that the sanctification we have received has placed on us a responsibility, a demand for us to set ourselves apart unto God. Hallelujah. Rather than instruct him in that direction, you put the initiative on God. Then you begin to tell him to pray and ask God to sanctify him. Praise God. The question then is this. When God saved him, what was the plan? God didn't have plans to sanctify him until he began to pray. That's faulty. God already sanctified us. He already called us with a holy calling. He has sanctified us in Christ Jesus. And that's the reason why he expects us to walk in sanctification. He has made us different, set us apart unto himself. He has made us holy unto himself. And he wants us to walk in holiness. So it is not something that God will do later because some believer somewhere suddenly becomes zealous and passionate to walk in sanctification and begins to bombard heaven with prayers. And God says, wow, oh, I need to get busy with sanctifying this guy now. God has done it. Hallelujah. He has done it. As a matter of fact, the reason why the believer is testing and yearning to live in sanctification is because God already sanctified him. It is his nature calling unto him. Hallelujah. It is his nature that is calling unto something deeper. Hallelujah. So when a believer finds himself walking in carnality, walking in the flesh, walking like the world, there's an inner struggle. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. So then I say to you, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17. For the flesh lust against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, that you should not do the things that you wish. So you see that there's an inner struggle. Anytime a man is yielding to the flesh, the spirit within, there's a call, there's a yearning. Something is not right. So there's no rest. Hallelujah. So the reason why there's a desire to walk in sanctification and be set apart for God and to live a different life is because the spirit, the nature you have received, is calling you to something deeper. Praise God. So that's not the time to begin to pray and ask God to sanctify you. That is the time to reckon the facts of your sanctification to be true. That is the time to reckon and recognize and discern the facts of your sanctification to be true and to live in accordance to that. Hallelujah. To live in accordance to that reality. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 also. We saw this yesterday. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So Jesus already became our sanctification. He became our righteousness. We've been sanctified in Christ Jesus. This is not something God will do. This is something God has done already. We have to reckon this fact to be true and so, and conduct ourselves in that light. Look at 1 Corinthians again, chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Before you go and say, have you seen now? Verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we've been sanctified, we've been washed, we've been justified. Hallelujah. Already, it's done. It's a past tense reality. Something already happened. Something came our way already. We've been sanctified and set apart by the offering of Christ once for all time. So it is not a second work of grace. It is our initial salvation. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter. Glory to Jesus. If I let's see 2 Thessalonians again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. When we are done with these scriptures, we will now examine those texts of the Bible that people have used to preach a second work of grace, sanctification as a second work of grace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. Glory to God. Praise God. Bible says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. He chose you for salvation through sanctification. So you see that salvation and sanctification are together, because your salvation is your sanctification. God set us apart when he called us out of the world. That's what we see in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Have you seen? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people. So for being chosen out of the world, we have become a holy nation set apart unto God, a special people set apart unto God. Our salvation is our sanctification. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. God is not sanctifying us daily. He has sanctified us already. We are the ones to recognize this fact and sanctify ourselves outwardly, bodily, yield ourselves to the things that God has set us apart unto. Glory to God. You know, because the sanctification we do, the setting apart that we do, is not an internal thing. We are not the ones to set ourselves apart from the world. That has been done. We are not of the world. The reason why we are not of the world is not because we are not living like the world. It's because our life is not the same like the world. It's not the same life that is found in the world. We have the eternal life of God. We have the eternal life, the Spirit of God. So the life we have positionally first, we are different from the world. Default setting for every believer is that you are different from the world. Hallelujah. So you are not different because you are not living like the world. You are different because your life is not the same life found in the world. So in recognition of this fact, you now begin to live differently from the world. That is your own sanctification. It's an outward separation. So God has separated you spiritually. He has sanctified you spiritually. You now set yourself apart bodily, in mind, in thought, from the world. Have you seen? That's exactly what is to be done. You are the one to set yourself apart in your thoughts, in your mind, and in your body. Glory to Jesus. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Praise God. 1 Peter 1, 1 to 2. Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. In sanctification of the Spirit. So God already sanctified us by His Spirit. Our faith in Jesus' resurrection is the sanctification. Praise God. So it won't come to pass, it already came to pass. God has done His part. He has sanctified us unto Himself by the offering of the body of Christ. Look at this one. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. Glory to Jesus. Hebrews 10:10. Are you following? Are you following? This is mind-blowing. God's word. So someone says, I'm not living like a sanctified man. Are you sure I'm really sanctified? See, the truth is, it's the same way you have all the gifts of the Spirit within you. You have the indwelling Spirit. You have the life of God within you. For not experiencing it does not mean, the fact that you are not experiencing that life, that those realities, does not mean that they are not there. Praise God. It's like having a car parked in your compound and you don't drive, and you keep walking around, or you are still taking BRT and things like that. So, see, the fact that you are not experiencing your possession and your position does not mean it does not exist. There are many husbands that have wives, and there are many wives that have husbands, but they are not relating. Praise God. They are not relating. When you hear the last time some husbands or some wives had any form of affection between themselves, you'll be shocked. But they are married. The facts will not change. The position will not change. The relationship will not change. But the experience is not consistent with the relationship they have. So the fact that you are not walking in your sanctification does not mean you are not sanctified. You are the one not discerning your position well, appropriately from the word of God, and taking the right course of action. Praise God. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Look at this carefully. Bible says, by that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Have you seen this? Once for all. How many times will God sanctify us in Christ Jesus? Once for all. The man that believes in the gospel is saved, and his salvation is a once for all salvation and a once for all sanctification. Praise God. A once for all sanctification. Look at Jude chapter 1. Jude 1:1. Jude has only one chapter. So we could just say Jude 1. Hallelujah. Look at Jude 1. Very powerful statement. It says, Jude, a bond servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Have you seen? The sanctification has been done. To those who are called and sanctified in Christ Jesus and preserved in Him. Glory to Jesus. So we have been sanctified. Now let's look at the text of the Bible that are oftentimes misconstrued and misinterpreted and misrepresented. John 17 verse 17. These are scriptures people use to teach a continuous work of sanctification that God does for the believer. John chapter 17 verse 17. Look at this carefully. Glory to God. John 17, 17. Bible says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So you hear people say, every time you come to church and you are receiving the word of God, that is God sanctifying you by His truth, sanctifying you by His message, sanctifying you by the sermon. No, that's not what He was saying here. As a matter of fact, He was, if you look at the overall context of John 17, 17, you discover that this was a prayer Jesus was praying before going to the cross. Praying for the disciples, and for those who will believe in their testimony. So everything He said here were things that were to come to pass. Hallelujah. Were things to come to pass. That's why verse 18 says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Verse 19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. That they also may be sanctified by the truth. The sanctification is something that they will receive in his own work of redemption. Because we saw yesterday how that what Jesus sanctified himself unto and set himself apart unto, that brought sanctification to us, is his death and resurrection, which is what he was about to go and do here. That's what we just read in Hebrews 10:10, that by the offering of Jesus we've been sanctified once for all. So the truth that sanctifies here is the gospel of Christ. And until Jesus died and rose again from the dead, nobody was set apart and sanctified in that sense. So Jesus is not teaching that every time you come to church to hear sermons, you are being sanctified by God. No. When you come to church to hear sermons about what Jesus has done, you know what we show you in the sermons? We show you how that God already sanctified you in Christ. So you don't get sanctified by our sermons in church. You don't get sanctified by every message you hear in church. What should be happening to you by the messages is a revelation of your sanctification in Christ. Glory to Jesus. That's why Paul would pray prayers for the saints, that their eyes be enlightened to know the hope of his calling, to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that which is already yours in Christ. That is the goal of Bible study, to show you what is yours already. So you don't come to church to be sanctified, you come to church to be informed about your sanctification and to instruct you to set yourself apart unto God in view of what God has already done. God already sanctified you in Christ. Hallelujah. God already sanctified you in Christ. The prayer of Jesus in this place is not prayer we are to be praying as a church. We should keep praying as a church, because these prayers were fulfilled in Jesus' death and resurrection. Amen. Imagine, look at verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So you see that this is not a prayer you'll be praying as a church today, or praying as an individual today. This is something that has been fulfilled in Jesus' death and resurrection. When he says that we may be one, he's not referring to us not disagreeing. He's not talking about unity in mind. He's talking about unity as, you know, having the same life. The unity that comes as a result of being born into the family of God, all of us having the unity of the Spirit. Glory to Jesus. All of us being partakers of the glory of Christ. The union is first a position. Hallelujah. It's a position. And this union cannot be thwarted or destroyed by our conflicts in the natural, by our conflicts, our disagreements, our factions. No. The unity is by the Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. From verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, he says to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He's talking about that which we should do, something we should do, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. But before you run ahead from this text and begin to preach that we are to try to become one, we are to try to become one, hear what he says from verse 4. Hear what he says from verse 4. He says, there is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope and in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So you see that there's first a union. The reason why we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit is because we have the unity of the Spirit. The reason why we are to endeavor to walk in oneness and singleness of heart is because we are one in Christ Jesus. We are one. The same faith, the same Lord, the same Spirit, one baptism. The same God and Father is above all, is through us all, and is in us all. So that's the union. Praise God. So there is no prayer Jesus prayed in John 17 that is something we are meant to repeat today and start praying. This prayer was fulfilled by his death and resurrection. So the idea of sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth, is something that has been fulfilled by Jesus' offering. Hebrews 10:10, by that one offering, we have been sanctified by the offering of Christ, we have been sanctified by the offering of the body of Christ once for all. So, this is not God continually sanctifying us every time we hear messages. This is something that happened once by our faith in the gospel. Look at another scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Bible says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So have you seen? So people have hijacked the text, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. And then they begin to preach out that Jesus is continually sanctifying us and all. No, that's not what he's saying here. Jesus' sanctification of the church already happened. That's why, follow carefully. He says, husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So everything that follows happened when he gave himself for the church. Praise God. He gave himself that he might sanctify. Have you seen? So the sanctification happened when he gave himself. The reason why we are sanctified is because he gave himself. The reason why he gave himself is so we can be sanctified. Praise God. The reason why he gave himself for us is so that he might sanctify us and purify and cleanse us and present us as a glorious church to himself, not having spot or wrinkle. See, if Jesus hasn't sanctified us, then we are not one with Christ. That's the implication. If Jesus has not sanctified us, then he can't be called the head of a body that is filthy. The reason why Jesus is the head and we are the body of Christ today is because the life that runs in the head runs in the body. So we are sanctified by the offering of Christ. What Paul is saying at Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 to 27 is what the writer of Hebrews says at Hebrews 10:10. He gave himself. By the offering of his body we have been sanctified. Have you seen? Very clear. So this already happened. Glory be to Jesus. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23 to 24. Now this is the one I said I was going to show you. That there's a sense in which sanctification can be put in the future. But then, it is not going to relate with our present life, with this present life, or this present time. It's in the world to come. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 to 24. Bible says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved, blameless, when? At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, God has already sanctified us in Christ spiritually. But then there's going to be a complete sanctification in the which even the body we now have will be different from what the world has. Right now, the body we have is the same body that you find in the world. It's a lowly body. But the time is coming when Jesus is going to conform our lowly body to his own glorious body. The time is coming when our mortal bodies will be put away and then we'll be given immortal bodies. That is the complete sanctification in which we are totally different and set apart from the world. So he says he will do it at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. It doesn't say he who calls you is faithful and he's doing it already, because it's not something that is being done now. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. It's in the future. Praise God. So that is not the second work of grace as it relates to our living on the face of the earth today. That is the final redemption of our bodies. Glory be to Jesus. Bible teaches this at Romans 8 as the redemption of our bodies. So this is something we are waiting. And Bible says the one who calls us is faithful and he will do it. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11. Glory to Jesus. Hebrews 2:11. Oh, hallelujah. Bible says, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So from what we just read now, it will seem as though the writer of Hebrews is suggesting that the sanctification work is ongoing. Those who are being sanctified. But then, the problem is with the modern translations. If you had read the KJV, there will have been no problem at all. Praise God. So here the rendition in the KJV, King James Version. It says, For both he that sanctifieth, and they who are sanctified are all of one. He puts it in the past tense. Not those who are being sanctified. It is they who are sanctified. Hallelujah. You find the same thing at Hebrews 10:14. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14. The same thing. The same error. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14. Bible says, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who have been sanctified. That's a modern translation. The KJV says, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Not those who are being, but them that are sanctified. And this agrees with every other thing we are reading in the scriptures. In fact, at verse 10 of the same chapter is where the writer of Hebrews says, by that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So you see that the same writer couldn't have been suggesting that this sanctification is something that is ongoing. He already says it is once. Hallelujah. So it's an error of modern translations. And so those are the scriptures people bring up to say that there's a continuous work of salvation or a continuous work of sanctification rather, that there's a second work of grace that God is doing and all and on and all. But you see, according to scriptures, sanctification has been done. God has sanctified us in Christ Jesus, and we are to understand, discern this, and conduct ourselves in that light. Glory be to God. We'll continue our study tomorrow, same time, 7 a.m. every day with Jesus broadcast. Do good to tune in. Invite your friends, your relatives, anybody at all, even your enemies. Hallelujah. And let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Do have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of faith, full of prayers, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.